The Drum Corps History Podcast, Episode 41. The Drum Corps History Podcast, a deeper look into Drum Corps history. This week's episode, the Long Island Sunrisers. Welcome back to the Drum Corps History Podcast. My name is Ron Allard from Dice Man Radio. The following information comes in part from an article written by Frank Doherty and Fran Herring for A History of Drum and Bugle Corps, Volume 2, published by Steve Vickers of Drum Corps World. With 7 national titles to their credit, the Sunrisers have put up some of the most impressive statistics in senior drum corps. Their fascinating early history is related by John Hodge, a member of the Sunriser Hall of Fame. It began in 1950 at a Marine Corps League meeting in Lakeview, West Hempstead, Long Island. Being gung-ho with still the Marine Corps blood in my veins from World War II and anxious to promote youthful projects for my organization, I made a motion on the floor of a meeting to organize the Marines Memorial Drum Corps of Nassau County. Ed McAvoy, a drummer, and Ed Ryan, bugleman, offered to assist me. Our first instruments were purchased from the Hempstead Fire Department. 4 snare drums, 2 bass, 15 G bugles, cymbals, etc. for $140. But by 1953, it was too much for the youngsters to handle. I started thinking big. I sent word out announcing the formation of a senior corps. It wasn't long before my phone started ringing at home. Former players from pre-war corps had moved to Long Island and wanted to be a part of this new group. It was in the spring of 1953 when I first met Ray Nichols, a bugle instructor. He had assembled a 20-man horn line including Bill and Lillian Lindy, Bob Stout, Jack Craven, Bill Butner, Ed Dingle, Ray Anderson, and me. The new drum instructor was Herb Weir, bass drum instructor was Harry Porfit, and bass drummer from an ancient fife corps, the one and only Fred Rose. New valve horns were purchased, as well as drums. New uniforms were designed by Lillian Lindy, Howard Larson, and me, made in Nassau County colors, orange, blue, and white. Ray Nichols had written some new French music. To honor this music, blue berets were the new headgear for the corps. One evening in 1954, while sitting home studying my baritone parts, I jumped up from my chair and turned the radio up loud. What I heard was Les Paul and Mary Ford playing "The World is Waiting for the Sunrise." I grabbed my phone and called Ray Nichols. "Ray," I said, "I have a terrific idea. How about a new name for the corps?" Friday night rehearsal came. Out came the announcement. A great ovation came from the members. The new theme came out of Ray's briefcase. There was electricity radiating through the entire corps when they started reading their parts. "This is our song." Wherever we played it, people knew that there was only one Sunrisers, and that made us feel proud. During the years 1954 to 1957, the Sunrisers became the most outstanding corps in the Long Island area, being seen in many parades and exhibitions, competing in all standstill competitions, and winning all categories. Early in 1957, the sponsorship changed to the Massapequa Elks Lodge No. 2162. Fred Rose, still manager of the Sunrise, and Joseph Coppola, Sr. of the Elks, had arranged the transfer. Enter Cal Myers, drum instructor and former Skylighter member, Howard Healy, Bob Hartman, Dick Vinsmith, and Harry Kunzweiler from Hollis Bel Air Drum Corps. In 1958, the corps found a new expression, M&M. Now it became a whole new ballgame. A new instructor was engaged to put the corps on the field, Jack Dobson from Orangeburg, New York, a retired Navy man and police officer. The management had signed us up in the Yankee circuit, and our first show was to be in New Rochelle. Competing against us were the Interstatesmen, Jolly Whalers, Carver Gay Blades, West Shoremen, and Marksmen. That show was our baptism under fire. Thank you. The Marksman won the show and the Carver Gay Blades came in second. Both were great. They became our incentive to work harder. Our score was 58.2, last place. After retreat, all the corps came over to welcome us to the circuit. Consensus was, they're a nice corps. We like their little French berets. The story of the Sunrisers has always been the story of the music, what they played and how they played it. The aforementioned French theme encouraged exotic repertoire choices like Mademoiselle de Paris and Debussy's Clair de Lune. But whatever the music, understanding senior corps requires recognizing the sheer intensity of truly passionate performance. An exquisite example is the Sunrisers recording from the 1963 World Open. Strong as the competition had been in the Yankee and Northeastern circuits, the corps had never been tested in a contest of this magnitude. Deep commitment to the music can be felt throughout, but nowhere more strongly than in Sing, 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 the soloists and ensemble vying with and challenging each other to a spectacular climax and riotous crowd reaction. But who were these guys exactly? The majority of the 1963 Corps remained veterans like Bill Costello, Al and Marty Beck, and others who had nurtured the Sunrisers from parade to field status. But the Corps' landscape in the New York area was changing in the early 1960s. Of the four great juniors in the classic Brass by Night album, only the Selden Cadets were still on the field by 1964. The Queensmen, Loretto Knights, and Floyd Bennett Golden Eagles had passed into history. There was no scarcity of talent since many of these former juniors had yet to be cordially invited to the service by the draft board, and pending that, were available for senior corps action. Some of the most intrepid looked east toward Long Island, which at first glance might have seemed like drum corps Siberia. But there was something out there, a feisty senior corps directed by the visionary Fred Rose and taught by three former Queensmen, John Sasso, Bill Hightower, and Horace Kavner. They were soon to be joined by the likes of the legendary French horn soloist Steve Buglino of Floyd Bennett, with several other great players in his entourage, including Brian O'Connell, Skip Heaney, and Paul Cagliano. The Sunrisers were on a roll, and by the time they left the prelims field at Roosevelt Stadium that bright September day, they were in third place, ahead of such powerhouses as the Syracuse Brigadiers, Springfield Marksmen, and Carver. That performance, complete with a Billy Cobham Krupa drum solo, was a major turning point for the Corps. In the following seasons, they rose through the Northeastern and Interstate circuits and were in their first appearance at DCA in 1966, where they were 1.1 from first ahead of the great Hawthorne Caballeros. By 1968, the Sunrisers were American Legion champions and were contending for the DCA title. Ralph Schuer took over the visual department for the 1968 season. His brilliant stroke was the development of, in his words, a unique and different movement style based on a relaxed, controlled 25-inch stride. The Corps spent the winter adapting stride to 25-inch tape strips on the hangar floor and the summer winning contests. Though they didn't take home any major prizes, the 1969 edition of the Sunrisers is generally considered the finest of the decade for a number of reasons. Procession of the Nobles, the first female DCA guard, the introduction of GF Bugles, and Jerry Shelmer. Drum Corps' father of percussion flat out revolutionized the way drumlines did business, and his innovations became the standards of today. Timpani, keyboards, multi-drums, and melodic percussion features. When asked at a rules convention exactly what he wanted, Shelmer replied, "This," slamming down the complete Deegan, LP, and Musser catalogs. All of it. He got all of it. Meanwhile, John Sasso took brass technique to a new plateau. Having studied with Joe Singer, principal horn in the New York Philharmonic under Bernstein, John began incorporating ensemble etudes, exercises, and chorales into Sunrisers brass training. A certain 1969 rookie lead soprano would one day develop this concept into a formula for unparalleled success. His name was Wayne Downey. Thank you. The next couple of seasons saw a changing of the guard in staff, management, and general direction. Meanwhile, DCA competition was getting tougher. The Corps remained strong and quite popular through 1970 and 71 and put a stamp on some of its most memorable music, like Abraham, Martin & John, Heidi Ho, and Norwegian Wood. The 1972 Sunrisers had a sluggish start, but they finished the season with a monumental effort and were probably the most improved Corps in DCA that summer. Still, they weren't contending for the gold. A little flirtation with rock and pop music gave some young writers needed experience. Two of these in particular, Gene Bennett and John Arietano, would profoundly influence the future direction of the Corps. Bennett had been the Sunriser guard captain, drum major, and drill tech since arriving from the famed George Washington Carver Gayblades. A slender lead soprano with an unorthodox embouchure and a screaming upper register, Arietano had been playing in a line since 1966, assisting with brass duties and teaching about 24 local junior corps, all the while refining his craft as an arranger. They virtually had to start over, but Bennett and Arietano would eventually help take the Sunrisers to their first DCA championship. The Sunrisers' fortune began to take a dramatic turn for the better in 1974 with the arrival of Mike DiLorenzo as the Corps' new director. Mr. D came from the Purple Lancers, a junior corps from the New York State that wound up making DCI finals in 74. To their credit, the relative handful of people who were still with the Sunrisers decided to work with DiLorenzo and get the corps pointed in the right direction. Sun also began to see an influx of young, talented members from New Jersey, New York City, and New York's Westchester County area. On the competition field in 1974, the Sunrisers struggled with a small horn line trying to master a difficult brass book. The Corps finished 8th at DCA, but seeds were sown for what would become the most successful era in Sunriser history. In 1975, the Corps climbed another notch. Bennett was writing the visual show, John Sasso was again heading the brass program, Ari Atano and Ray Fallon were being given larger roles as brass instructors and arrangers. In a key move late in the 1975 season, the Sunrisers hired Dennis DeLucia, the guru behind the drumline of the Hawthorne Muchachos, as the Corps' percussion coordinator. Sun's drumline would come to dominate DCA, and during those years, the Sunrisers were fortunate to have one of the best percussion staffs around. The mainstay of the in-house staff was Dave Francis China. Also on board in various years were Brian Callahan, Rich Sassani, and Jim Mallon, among others. In 1976, at Teaneck, New Jersey, the first show of the season, the audience began to buzz as the Sunrisers entered the stadium sporting new Aussie-style hats. When the Corps formed a wedge for its opening hit in Procession of the Nobles, the crowd erupted in applause, for it was clear that the Sunrisers had arrived as a champion contender. Sun finished a solid third at DCA Finals that summer. The stage was set for what became the most memorable season the Corps ever experienced. The hunt for the 1977 DCA title became a two-corps chase, with the Sunrisers nipping at the heels of the Cawthorne Caballeros, beating the Cavs on several occasions and falling short on others. Neither Sun nor the Cavs lost to another corps that season. Sun did battle with a show that combined sophistication with pure audience appeal. The repertoire included English Folk Song Suite, Spain, Old Man River, Eli's Coming, Dance of the Wind-Up Toy, and Evergreen. Bennett, Ari Atano, and DeLucia were show designers and arrangers. The staff included Dave and Pete Francis China, Sasani, Tom McCarthy, Ted Sasso, and Ted Heumann. The personable Tom Hart was drum major. The Corps had a great percussion section, a solid horn line, and a color guard, and a cutting-edge visual show. It was a magical, winning combination. The Corps delivered one of its best performances ever at DCA prelims, beating the Cavs by 3 points. That night, Sun performed before a packed house at J. Bernie Crum Stadium in Allentown, Pennsylvania, that nervously awaited the final results. Could cut the tension with a knife as the announcer intoned in second place with a score of 94.10, the Hawthorne Caballeros. Sun had done it. in first place with a score of 94.15, yes, 5/100ths of a point. It was the narrowest of margins, but the Sunrisers were the champs. Slow start, big finish could describe Sun's 1978 season. The Corps lost its first show, but dropped only two more shows that season and rolled to a successful defense of its DCA title. The Corps got a scare at DCA prelims, edging the Caballeros by, ironically, 5/100ths of a point. But Sun took the night show by nearly 3 points, winning caption honors for horns, drums, color guard, and general effect, including a first-ever perfect score in the GE brass caption. In 1979, the Corps had a big brass section, another outstanding drum line, and a strong color guard, but some of the magic was missing, and Sun fell short in a bid for a three-peat. However, the Corps did not go down without a fight, delivering a great performance at DCA prelims that had the audience roaring from start to finish. In the end, it was not enough, and the Sunrisers finished third, but took home another percussion trophy. The summer of 1980 was a rebuilding year. Several longtime members moved on, and DiLorenzo and Bennett retired. Veteran Sunriser Len Herring Jr. took over as director, and the Corps hired Bobby Hoffman of Bayonne Bridgman fame to write the 1980 drill. Thankfully, Sun's magnificent drumline carried the Corps through a down year, finishing second at DCA Finals. From the pen of brass arranger Ariatano came a version of Send in the Clowns that became a Sunriser classic.
Thank you.
Also, Dennis Dewey came on board as brass coordinator for the Corps, which finished in sixth place at DCA Finals. That night, Sun was also part of what surely is one of the most bizarre incidents in DCA history. The West Shoremen, performing before Sun, decided to release a flock of birds at the end of their show for added effect. The birds were supposed to fly away into the night. One problem, they didn't. So here were the Sunrisers lined up in their starting position, waiting for officials from the West Shoremen and DCA to clear the field of the flock of grounded birds. Anyone who was there that night will never forget the sight of DCA Judge Walter Kelly firing his starter pistol in an effort to get the birds to move. True to their tradition, the Sunrisers shook things up a bit in 1981, debuting a bright new uniform of orange tunic-style tops and blue pants in a bright new show featuring pop, jazz, and Broadway tunes. Sun once again was led by their monster drumline, which took home the percussion trophy at DCA Finals, and the Corps placed a close second overall. In 1982 and 1983, the Sunrisers returned to championship form, winning the Corps' third and fourth DCA titles. In 1982, the Corps overcame a slow start, recently passing the front-running West Shoremen and winning DCA Finals by nearly 2 points. Sun's percussion section once again won top honors. In 1983, the Corps lost only its first show, capping a great summer with a fourth title. Sun swept to a victory that season with a balanced Corps, winning trophies for horns, drums, general effect, and color guard at DCA Finals. This meant that the Corps' dominating percussion section had finished as the best in DCA for 6 of the previous 7 seasons. The 1983 percussion section very well might have been the best of all those great Sunriser lines. At DCA Finals that year, the Corps' snare line accomplished something that was nearly impossible to do. It turned in a tickless performance. However, 1983 also marked the end of an era for the Sunrisers. Brass coordinator Dewey had left the Corps after 1982. When the 1983 summer ended, percussion coordinator DeLucia and brass arranger instructor Ariatano moved on, joining the staff of the Caballeros. The Corps retained a nucleus of veteran members, but it was not enough to put the Sunrisers in the title hunt for 1984, and the Corps finished fourth at DCA's. Once again, the Sunrisers decided to stir the pot a bit. The Corps unveiled a cutting-edge show in 1985 featuring a fast-paced visual program and also moved to New Jersey after many years in Long Island. The Corps wowed the crowd at the 85 DCA Championships en route to a third-place finish. In 1986, the Corps' Fiddler on the Roof show took a while to gel and Sun ended up in sixth place. But again, the groundwork was being laid for future success. The 1987 season will be remembered as the rainout year at DCA. Rain fell all day during the preliminary competition, and by the time the Sunrisers took the field, the grass surface more closely resembled a mud pit. That didn't stop Sun from putting on one of its most amazing performances in the Corps' history, marching and playing as if the field was completely dry. Sun won prelims by nearly 2 points. That result netted the Corps another DCA title, since the final show was canceled due to field conditions. The Sunrisers were strong in 1988. Now under the direction of longtime member Gary Williams, Sun drew standing ovations all season long with a crowd-appealing show. But the Bushwhackers from Harrison, New Jersey closed the gap on Sun, and the two Corps made history at DCA Finals by tying for the top spot, the sixth DCA title for the Sunrisers. The 1989 season started out as a great one and ended in disappointment. The Corps was hot all summer, dazzling audiences with a full-throttle George Zingali visual show and entertaining repertoire. At DCA Finals, Sun delivered a terrific performance, but again ended up in a tie with the Bushwhackers. However, under a new DCA tiebreaker system, Bush was awarded the championship by 1/10 over the Sunrisers. After coming oh so close in 1989, the Sunrisers faced a tough road. Many members from the 89 Corps moved on. In 1990, the Corps fell to ninth place at DCA's, but they gave a determined effort. Drum major Tony Cattaneo summed it up best at the beginning of the performance when he turned to the audience and shouted, "We may be down, but we're not out. Watch this." Sun hung on for the 1991 and 92 seasons. For the first time, the Corps missed DCA Finals in 1991, finishing 11th in prelims. Sun was back in the finals in 1992 with an expanded 12-Corps field and came in 12th place. All the struggles of the past few years had taken a toll, and the Sunrisers made a tough decision. They would go inactive for the 93 season. However, several members and some SUNM alumni formed a mini corps, 20 members or less, to compete at the individual and ensemble show during DCA weekend. The mini corps was warmly received by the audience, which was happy to see that the sun had not set after all. The Sunrisers now had hope for the future, but the 93-94 period also was a time of sadness. The Sunriser family was shaken by the untimely death of longtime drum major Cattaneo. His sister Rose, a veteran member of SUNM's Color Guard, took his place on the drum major's podium when the Corps returned to action in 1994. Thanks to the determination of Williams and a nucleus of members, the Sunrisers clawed their way back onto the championship field in 94 with a 12th place finish at DCA prelims and an exhibition performance at finals. The Never Say Die Sunrisers once again set out to climb the DCA ladder. In 1995, the Corps regained its finalist position with a 9th place finish. In 1996, the Corps won the fans' hearts with their Les Miserables show, and the Color Guard took top honors at DCA finals. The Corps finished 6th. The show the Sunrisers put on at the 1997 DCA finals ranked up there with the best performance in their history. SUNM powered to a 4th place finish with a sophisticated, hard-driving program of David Holsinger tunes, highlighted by another great performance from the Corps' Color Guard. SUNM fielded a smaller but determined Corps in 1998, finishing the season in 6th place with an audience-friendly show of Russian music. In 1999, some of that old Sunriser magic was present at DCA Finals. The Corps put on an emotionally charged performance in a driving rainstorm and finished in 8th place, once again led by a magnificent Color Guard, which captured the best Color Guard trophy that night. In 2000, SUNM once again made the difficult decision to not field the Corps and remained inactive in 2001 and 2002. The Sunrisers' name brings memories of one of the most unique, refreshing, innovative, and successful corps in drum corps history. Here's hoping the sun shines brightly for years to come. That concludes this week's episode on the Long Island Sunrisers. Please join us again next time as we take a deeper look into drum corps history. This podcast is produced and sponsored by DiceManRadio.com.